This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. There are jewelry stores, then there's Zadok's. KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Vasquez, beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post!
Ronel Kielko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Well, here we go. We have got so much to talk about here on the show tonight. By the way, I'm watching Colo-Colo and Peñarol. You got to love it when the Copa Libertadores is back. It's back without fans. But, you know, if you're a general manager in Major League Soccer or you are involved with finding players for your team in this changing league, well, you better be watching the Copa Libertadores, as there are tons of players out here that are quality. And as we all know, there's great buys in South America. We're going to get into that tonight, the changing Major League Soccer. It's 2 hours live tonight, and throughout the show, we're going to take phone calls. 713-780-3776, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Now, John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com, and a big thank you to them for getting us on the air. All right, so a big thanks to Fred and the Blitz. Fred is always so kind with his compliments about the soccer show. And I used to, for fun, say, well, I still do, the self-proclaimed best soccer show on the air, self-proclaimed. The reason I did that was because when I was a kid and I was getting into rock and bands and music, well, the Rolling Stones would always come out and they'd have a guy. And this is when they were just in the beginning. Nobody knew where it was going to go. But when they were the hottest band as young guys, there would be a guy who would come out and say, the intro at the concerts would be, ladies and gentlemen, the world's greatest rock and roll band. And they just took the moniker and ran with it. Now, it turned out pretty good for them. That's a claim you can, I would definitely say they were in the history of rock and roll. No question. But anyway, that's kind of how I get into the self-proclaimed thing. All right, we got big stuff tonight. Sam Stachel of The Athletic will join me. Brian Sciarretta of American Soccer Now. Eddie Robinson. But first, this first segment, we're going to talk about what is hot right now, and that is Albert Elise. Now, first of all, and we'll take your calls, if you're a fan of Albert Elise, and he is a polarizing figure for the Houston Dynamo. 88 games, 34 goals, 27 assists, made the All-Star team, one playoff goal and four appearances. We all know he's headed to Portugal. He's our J.J. Watt. He's our Jose Altuve relative to star quality. He's headed to Portugal. He's going to play with Boavista. He will leave Thursday. I'm correcting my report. He was leaving Wednesday. He'll play in the Portuguese Primeira under a 37-year-old manager, Vasco Sabra, on the Iberian Peninsula in the city of Porto. This is an absolutely fantastic move for Albert Elise. Fantastic. You cannot want to not be happier for him. Young guy, ambitious, made it clear he wanted to go there, did the work, and he's going. And you can agree or disagree with me, but I think this is a fantastic move for him. And for those of you who don't know who Boavista is, do your homework. Understand that they're a club with history over there. Understand they're connected to Lille in France in the French league, Un or One, as we would anglicize it. And Albert Elise is going to a very, very good situation. That's my take. The Dynamo, this is good for them too. This is finality now with Albert Elise. We stopped the dance. We stopped the 24-hour, you know, tango we've been doing with will he stay or will he go? And listen, Todd Ramos has got to be relieved. because now he can progress with his team. And he knew this was a reality, and I guarantee you that's the first guy who congratulated him, himself having played at Tigres and Figueres in Spain, Figueres. But life without Albert Elise is going to be reality. I think there could have been more. I think this guy should have been positioned in this town with the stars of all the other sports teams. There's no question. He had it. He had the celebration. He was scoring goals. The Panther celebration was phenomenal. There's a large Honduran community here. It just never seemed to really work out. But he was our J.J. Watt. He was our Jose Altuve, relative to star quality and popularity of MLS. I'm not being silly here. I'm being honest. But this is natural. Life goes on, and good for the Dynamo. They got something because there was real worry that Elise was going to walk in January and the Dynamo would not have gotten anything for him, like back in the day with Jeff Cameron. Now, that was a whole different time. This is a buying and selling league. You have to keep up with it right now. You have to be watching Colo-Colo and Peñarol in the Copa Libertadores. You got to be on top of this 24-7, and you've heard Matt Jordan talk about how hard he works and games and agents and all that stuff. By the way, Mauro Manotas, you got to think about him now. December 2021, I think that new deal is done with his. And he's had offers and he's had attention. So the Dynamo are going to lose one of the most disruptive and successful wingers in Major League Soccer. That's my opinion, bar none. And I'll tell you why it's validated. Because when I do my homework for games and I talk to opposing coaches in Major League Soccer, first guy they talk about on the Houston Dynamo is Albert Elise and how he affects them and how he makes their line of resistance drop a little bit and how they fear him and what they're going to try to do to take the edge off him, to dull his sword. And he's hurt a lot of teams in MLS. So he's moving to an important league now. I'm going to get into the tactics and how that could change for the Dynamo. Now, I've seen many people proposing these ridiculous thoughts again about Portugal. Yes, it's behind the big five, the Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, League One in France. We know that. Think about some of the names that have come through Portugal. Jaimes Rodrigues, Radamel Falcao, Cristiano Ronaldo started his career there with Sporting Lisbon. Bruno Fernandes at Manchester United right now. Look at the way he changed that team. So you can go on and on in Portugal. Raul Jimenez, now at Wolves, who, by the way, the goal he took on Monday, oh, my God. He literally caressed it in. He was saying, you know what? I'm going to take this cross. I'm going to show you how gently I can score it. Phenomenal. And I know we got the Houston Wolves here that saw that goal. This is a great move for Albert. It's also good for the Houston Dynamo. The dance is over. So, 88 games, 34 goals, 27 assists. A concern here for me is that Houston doesn't get the attention overall from around the country for as large of a market as we are. We know this is a problem. And that does not help when building value in star players that you grab. So you can say, did Albert become more valuable for the Houston Dynamo or not? Now, you can say yes, because he got a move. I don't know what the numbers are. The numbers aren't going to be revealed, so we won't know ultimately what was paid. Then you can factor in merchandise and shirts and local media attention, and, you know, it should have been more. Could have been more. Could have, would have, should have. And that comes down to the coverage the city gives its professional soccer team, but also earned coverage. You make the playoffs once in 6 years, and you're not putting full stadiums out there. Well, you don't have the buzz. And that's before we get into other things. So he's coming and gone. When he did come, he was so refreshing. Because the Dynamo were in so much need of some team speed, some excitement, and you got him in Kyoto. And you had the twin wingers running like crazy. They were slightly reckless. They were like a train off the trails or off the tracks. And that made for exciting soccer. But then we realized nothing was really being built. It was just, hey, knock it out wide to Elise or Kyoto. You know, if you remember, Wilmer Cabrera tried to play with a pressing system. Didn't work. Had to relegate it back to being a counter-attacking team, which at the end of the day is easier. was a far different looking team than the one that we see right now. And I'm not slamming on anybody. I'm just telling you my opinion. This is not a slam on anybody. So things are different. So enter Mateo Bahamic of Instituto in the second division in Argentina, a club in need of cash. He had offers in the championship and lower divisions in England. He seems to be the replacement now, rumor-wise, speculatively. And I know the Dynamo, there's interest in him. And he would be maybe the like-for-like replacement for Albert, at least. And if you saw him on YouTube, you would say, basically, he's a winger. He's a winger. He's a penetrator. I don't think you want to play with two inverted wingers. This is just, again, my personal opinion. You saw with Ariel Lassiter in a 4-3-3 where you're bringing everything inside, because that means your two outside backs have to bring you your width. Now, I think Adam Lundqvist, that's a strength for him. I think Adam going forward is a strength. I think defensively, he seems to have improved a lot, but I would give, you know, the stay-at-home defending edge to Zarek Valentin. But I don't see Zarek as a guy that gets to the end line. He's not going to fly by somebody in the run of a counterattack. He's going to be tremendous support from behind. He has three assists via crosses, but they're all crosses in front of defenses. Nothing wrong with that. Just different. So if you don't get a speedy winger, you're asking a lot out of people. And I'm sure the Dynamo are after a speedy winger, and it very well could be Mateo Bahamic of Instituto in the Argentine second division. Yeah, you want with either on one side. I like it the way Tab Ramos has it, with Darwin Quintero on the left, inverted coming inside, a real loose role at times. And then on the other side, you know, when you had Albert Delis or somebody really penetrating. So that's what I have to say on this, and I think we'll take some phone calls. Let's go to Mark. Mark, what do you have?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good.
So I think I have to agree with you about the Delis thing, man. I think he would have been a much huger, much bigger signing if the Dynamo had a more successful run during his time here. Obviously, you know, they had the one playoff run, and they had the 2018 U.S. Open Cup run, but you know, if they had the winning pedigree, like, say, a Seattle during that time period, I think it would have made a whole lot more noise for him personally and would have caught more attention as far as a hometown sports star like Altuve and why. Because, you know, obviously the Astros have won recently, so that's why Altuve's name is so big around here in the city. The Rockets of Harden, you know, and the Texans of J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson or whatever. And unfortunately for Elise, you know, obviously, the Dynamo have had coaching changes and different of opinion and tactics and all that good stuff. And, you know, it just wasn't there for him. At, you know, but I'm happy for the Dynamo that they were able to get something for him, you know, and not let him leave on a free man, because that would have been a huge mistake on their end for allowing that to happen.
Well, the big thing I think everybody's going to want to know, and this happens in other sports, and it doesn't happen in our league. There's a lot of secrecy in our league, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody, but you know, look at all the attention Albert Delis and this has drawn here for at least the very strong base of fans that the Dynamo have. Market exposure, media attendance, relevancy, brand awareness for individual athletes, their ability to go to Europe as a next destination is a selling point in Major League Soccer. If you're a player, you want to go where you're going to get exposure. You want to go to a place where you're going to win titles. You're going to go to a place that you are wanted. These are the things that I think all athletes want. They don't want to do their performing per se, because they are performers, without that exposure, especially if they're trying to hop to Europe. So all of these things really tie in with each other and really tie in my opinion, Mark, with a very changing league, buying and selling, and the Dynamo are going to have to keep pace with that and made some good buys. So, you know, Matias Vera to me was a tremendous purchase. I mean, I think he silently has gone along wonderfully, and now he's got a much more organized midfield under Tab Ramos. Life got easier for him, and it needed to get easier for him because it was very difficult with that midfield last year that wasn't effective passing the ball. They didn't seem to be tied in together. They didn't move together. A lot of basic things. So anyway, I'll let you finish your thought.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, and I hope that goes very well for him. I mean, like you said, Boavista's a sister club to Lille in France. And, you know, obviously, you know, how a lot of these clubs operate, you know, for like the Red Bulls and the whole Red Bull organization in soccer, you know, how they do it for the whole Tyler Adams going to Salzburg and now him and Leipzig or whatever. You know, it's a great opportunity for him to do really well in Portugal and then maybe get a transfer over to League One or wherever else, man. You know, hopefully it goes well for him, and I'll be watching him. I'll be following him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think we're all going to watch Boavista a bit because they also have Reggie Cannon on the team there. We're going to ask Sam Stachkal about, you know, contracts and how these get put together and sell-ons and things like that because he's really on top of that stuff in the next segment. But, you know, I have BN Sport. That's where I just watch Colo Colo and Peñarol, so, and the Copa Libertadores. So I'm psyched to watch the Portuguese First Division.
For sure.
When there's a player that we all know. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. Well, Mark, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you, Lynn.
All right, good stuff there from Mark. 713-780-3776. Fans back at BBV Stadium this weekend. All right. LCD sound system. This is a good song for Albert Elise. When Someone Great Is Gone. It's great timing there. Bundesliga back this weekend, too, and they will have fans. So I think the Dynamo are going to be the first professional team in Houston to come back with fans. How about that? Good for them. All right, we'll take a break. Sam Stachkal, I'm struggling with Sam's name. Sam Stachkal will join me next of The Athletic. Looking forward to that as we take a break. It's a Lustau Vermouth break. Great over ice, tonic water, squeeze of orange. You can also use it in gin and tonics. Lustau Vermouth, L-U-S-T-A-U. Ask for it at your local liquor store. Stuff is wonderful, and they are sponsoring the show, and we really thank Lustau Vermouth. Get some.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hi, this is Adam Lundqvist from the Houston Dynamo, and thank you for listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
You got to do a big intro for a big guest, and I would have to say that rat song, Dance, 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 is a big intro. Reminds me of a time I was taking care of my niece and nephew in the Virgin Islands. Beautiful water out, I'm making an omelet. That song comes on. My niece is dancing all over the place. She's little. She's like four. She comes in squeezing a little parrot she had. The parrot's name was Dip. And she comes running to me. I have a cat at my feet while I'm making the omelet and the breakfast. She trips on the stairs, spills the bird, which skids across the floor, right into the lap of the cat, who takes a wild swing at it, and I have to kick the cat out of there. But that's why that song, Dance, 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 from Rat, always comes back. All right, Sam, that's probably too much information. From The Athletic, Sam Stachkal joins me now. A little bit too much information, right, Sam?
No, I like that story. You know, like, anytime you can talk about being in the Caribbean and parrots and cats fighting, like, yeah, let's get more of that.
It's not bad. And, you know, rock and roll songs and songs in general, we all, you know, we all relate them to certain things. What would yours be?
Oh, man. Songs in general? I mean...
Well, is there one song that brings back a big memory to you?
There's like a million songs that bring back
big
memories.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you know,
true.
Like every song I hear. Like for me, the ones that stand out the most are the ones that were played a lot, like my senior year of high school. You know?
Well, give me one of those, because that way we can date you. Give me one of those.
Oh, man. Do you know the song Paper Planes by MIA. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe some
missing
of
in action.
So that one was big. That one was big, like, summer before my senior year of high school, and the movie Superbad came out. I don't know. I just associate that with a lot of memories of that.
Good one. All right. Well, listen, you're the expert. You and Paul do a wonderful job on your podcast, but you really get into explaining a lot of the intricacies of rules and deals and all of this stuff. Just give me a comment on this changing league right now, because you got to be in the buying and selling game. I was just mentioning on the show that I'm watching, you know, Copa Libertadores here, and somebody from every team in Major League Soccer should be watching these games, and I'm assuming they are. But with, you know, all the changes of, you know, Ricuarte in Dallas, Pizarro in Miami, Pulido at Sporting, Zelarayan in Columbus, Namely in Colorado, this is really a changing league here in the last couple of years, maybe five.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's more changing on the other side, honestly. You know, Albertelli's potentially going to Portugal here, according to all the reports. Reggie Cannon going to Portugal, being sold already. Zdeněk Ondrasek up in Dallas, going back home to the Czech Republic. It feels like more sales are starting to happen. PT Martinez, obviously, in Atlanta, moving to Saudi Arabia. And MLS is kind of becoming more of a player in the global marketplace, not just in buying players, but in selling, too. And I think that's a really important development for the league, just to like actually be involved in this in this market that every other league in the world is involved in, and just to kind of be more integrated in that. And I think that will lead to kind of better business, more efficient business, better players coming to MLS, and a better league as a whole. So I think that's been encouraging here over the last few weeks, month, and kind of as we move into towards the end of the transfer window and look ahead towards, you know, 2021 even, when things return hopefully a little bit to more of a semblance of normal.
Sam Stashkill of The Athletic joining us. Now, look, Major League Soccer's not – it's hard to get information in general around contracts and, salaries and things like that, which makes other leagues in America thrive, actually, that speculation and the talk about all that. But – take me into Albert Lees and Reggie Cannon. Anything you know, but you know, we have heard that Reggie Cannon has a sell-on date, which means I guess FC Dallas still owns a percentage of him if he's then sold. Take us through some of that stuff and educate me and my listeners.
Sure. So basically what a sell-on clause means is that Dallas sold Cannon to Boa Vista, and in the contract for that transfer, I can't remember the specific number, but let's just say hypothetically it's 30%. If Boa Vista sells him to, say, Lille in France, who they have a relationship with, I believe a shared owner, so this is probably something that's very possible, and Lille pays $5 million for him, well, Dallas would get 30% of that fee. Boa Vista would keep 70, and 30% would go to Dallas, and of course some agents and Cannon would get some of that, and there would be some other breakdowns, I'm sure. But Dallas would get 30% of that fee. So that's an important thing for MLS, because there isn't a whole slew of players that have really proved that you can jump from MLS to Europe and be a successful player right away. And I think that players in MLS can do that. I think players in MLS have done that. You know, we've seen it with Miguel Almirón. We've seen it with Tyler Adams in recent years. But at the same time, there isn't this critical mass. And until you have that critical mass, you're probably not going to get the fee that you really want for these solid young players that you might be looking to sell. And so one way to kind of correct for that is to include these sell-on clauses. They're a pretty common thing as well, particularly for younger players. So you include the sell-on clause and you kind of protect yourself in the event that the player kind of blows up and moves for a big, big money fee down the road.
All right, so if he gets sold to Lille, let's say, and it's $5 million, FC Dallas is going to get $1 million something, maybe $1.5 million, somewhere around there, or a little less. That 30%, does any of that go back to the league, or does Dallas get to retain all of that?
Well, in the case of Cannon, you know, he's a homegrown player, right? So Dallas keeps 100% of the fee to begin with. So I would assume that the league would not get any of that. I actually don't know the answer to that question in the case of a player like Ellis. You know, the league shifted the rules for transfer requirements. It used to be most guys would it would be a 75-25 split for most players. Now it's 95-5. So I don't know what a sell-on would look like for a player who isn't homegrown and it's a 95-5 split. Maybe it's maybe it works the same for a sell-on clause, but I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe that's one I should ask.
Well, I mean, if I'm finding a question for Sam Stachel, I'm doing a good job. Sam Stachel joining us of The Athletic. They do a tremendous job covering the game. He's got a great podcast along with Paul Tenorio that really takes you deep into a lot of this stuff, and it is pretty complicated. I mean, when you do all your studying and figuring all this out, you do find out that the rules and regulations are pretty complicated, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And it's very specific to MLS. You know, it's not – other American sports are like this too. Like Major League Baseball is very complicated in terms of the rules that they have with their salary cap. NBA and NFL are kind of the same. But in terms of the world of soccer, MLS is very unique. So I think it's actually kind of interesting. You see a lot of teams now, in particular, the new trend is to kind of hire foreign GMs. Or, you know, I shouldn't even say foreign, because there are technically foreign GMs in MLS who have experience in the league before they get hired. But the trend is now to hire people from Europe or elsewhere who have never experienced MLS before and come in and run a club. And there's a real learning curve. Just because, you know, you can run a team in the Bundesliga, right? And you can deal with big, big money players and big stars and all that stuff. But you don't know what TAM or GAM or any of that kind of, any of those machinations are. Yeah. And all of that stuff and manipulating that and finding loopholes and understanding how to best kind of assemble a roster around all of those rules. It's really important to the success of an MLS team, particularly when you're talking about kind of building out depth and building out kind of those roster spots 6 to 20 that can often determine who's got a decent team and who's got a great team. So that's really important. I think it's really interesting to see kind of this trend of international GMs, because those guys don't know. It's not their fault, and it's not to say that they can't learn, but they haven't had a ton of success historically, and I'm curious to kind of see how that unfolds over the next few years.
Yeah, GAM and TAM. Was ist das? You know, what is this when they get over here? So now we have Olimpia of Paraguay and Santos of Brazil now in Copa Libertadores. Do you watch any of the Copa Libertadores, Sam?
I have not watched any yet this year, but I pop a game on every now and again in past years. It's a fun tournament. I love the environment in South America.
Unbelievable.
It really makes for kind of, you know, even if it's not a great game, which oftentimes they can be great games, but even if it's not, the environment can kind of make it special. So I enjoy watching
off the rails, you know, as opposed to the very slick and perfectly refined Champions League. It's kind of off the rails,
yeah.
You know, when a car battery comes out of the upper deck and hits behind the goal or something.
Yeah, that would be a hefty throw of a car battery. That's exactly right.
All right. So are you concerned at all, you know, the fact that so many green cards, you know, players are getting their green cards. They don't count as foreigners. Or is there any concern now that maybe the needle is favoring less the American player in a league that was designed for them?
There is definitely some concern with some people. I've kind of gone back and forth on whether or not I'm concerned about this over the years. I would say right now I'm not. You know, there are less spots available per team for the American player because teams are better at getting green cards, and guys with green cards don't count towards international slots, of which each team only has, I think, 8 to start with, and then you can trade for them, so you can end up with more. So that's definitely a factor, but, you know, Glenn, this is me stating the very obvious. There are 26 teams in MLS now, and soon to be 30. You know, it wasn't so long ago that number was like 14. So you're talking about the league doubling in size. So while there might be less spots for Americans on each roster, overall, you know, the number of Americans in the league, I would assume anyway, I haven't run the numbers on this, but I would imagine it's gone up. And they still have plenty of opportunities as a whole. So it might not be per team anymore, but on the whole, it's still kind of a protected class. I don't think it's gotten any worse, certainly. And I think with teams investing in their academies and some teams kind of taking that model and that approach, you're going to see younger Americans getting more and more minutes too. I think what you will see and what you have seen is kind of it's harder for guys who are kind of in the middle class, maybe sometimes they start, maybe sometimes they're on the bench, to have long careers when they're Americans. You know, you kind of get that initial shot 2, 3, 4 years. And if you don't make it then, you know, you might not have that longevity that maybe you had in the past. So I think that's where the big difference is. But on the whole, I'm not that concerned about it personally.
Sam Stachkel joining us from The Athletic. All right, so you had the article, sources, Houston Dynamo investigating rebrand as owner Brenner considers sale. So obviously multiple people worked on this piece, Pablo, Jeff, and you. First off, you know, I know you guys are covering the game top to bottom. The idea to cover this, and how intriguing was it? And do you believe sincerely, I mean, you wrote the article, that there is change afoot when it comes to potential ownership change and rebrand?
Yeah, so regarding the ownership change, you know, it's not a huge surprise to me when I heard that. You know, it's something that, you know, people kind of would toss around as a rumor for a while. And, you know, just because he's exploring a sale doesn't mean it's going to get done, right? Particularly in the current economic climate. COVID obviously has had pretty massive ramifications. And that might kind of depress a valuation for the Dynamo potentially. It might depress the number of people that might be interested in the team. So it might not be a great kind of seller's market for Brenner at the moment. So we'll see on that front. In terms of a rebrand, you know, the sense that I got is that it'll probably be a little bit more of a refresh than a full-on, like, crazy switch. Personally, I would be shocked if they ditched orange. You know, I think that's obviously a pretty unique thing for the Dynamo in this league.
Great color.
You know, as you know way better than I do, being in that stadium all the time, that would be kind of awkward to have to repaint all those scenes.
Yeah, there's a little orange in there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I think that's a kind of a cool element, and I think they'll probably keep that. I think it'll probably just be a little bit more of a refresh, a reset, and maybe, you know, maybe pointing towards a new era. Who knows? But, yeah, that's the sense I got, whether that's next year or beyond. You know, I think COVID will play a role in that too. Or is playing a role in that, I should say. But yeah, it seems like there will be some change afoot potentially on a couple of major levels for the Dynamo.
So a rebrand could potentially just be a rejigging of the crest. The colors remain the same. I mean, it could take on a lot of shapes and forms.
Exactly. I mean, it could be a whole thing. Could change the name, right? Could change the colors. Like, I don't know for sure. But they are. It's something that the team has been looking into.
All right, and this article's in The Athletic, and Sam Pablo Mauro and Jeff Reuter doing a great job. And, you know, these are great articles because they get people talking. They bring attention to the Houston market. You know, outside of obvious things like, you know, playoffs, attendance, and the things that are trying to be changed now with the new regime, and there's a lot of good work being done. Why does Houston, as big as it is in Major League Soccer and as important a market as it is, and I might even say Chicago as well, but why not more attention down here? Why not more attention on Albert Delisa? Is it, I mean, are we just really dominant on the L.A. markets and the markets that maybe get more eyeballs and have more success?
That. I think some of it is that the eyeballs, you know, there's certainly more attention league-wide on places like LA, FC, LA Galaxy, even Seattle or Portland than there is in Houston. I think some of it is the results. You know, there's more attention on those teams because they've had a lot more success than the Dynamo have. And that's a fairly obvious factor, but it's an important one too. But to me, this all comes kind of back to ownership. You know, the current ownership for the Dynamo hasn't really invested in that team. In the same way that ownership in those markets that I just mentioned has. And that's borne out in terms of results, right? Lack of playoff success, lack of playoff appearances even. It's been pretty poor down there. And I think, you know, everyone points to Houston as this big city and this big Latino and Mexican-American population, and why isn't soccer working there? It really should, right? And I believe all of that.
And it is a soccer city. I can tell you that from every level here, it's a soccer city.
100%. But at the same time, like, American soccer fans, people living in the States who are soccer fans, are not stupid, right? They can tell when a team is trying. And if a team isn't trying, why would they go watch when they can wake up on a Saturday morning and watch the Premier League, or they can stay up on a Saturday night and watch Liga MX, right? Why would they go watch MLS if the team in town, the only selling point is that they're local? And that, to me, is what the Dynamo are right now. You know, they haven't been good on the field. They don't appear particularly interested on an ownership level in changing that. And so why should anyone go out there? And until that changes, I don't think the support's going to change. Houston could take off, right? And I think there are examples. Atlanta, right? Seattle, Toronto. These are teams whose owners treat them seriously, right? Arthur Blank, I think, is the best example of this in Atlanta, right? He treats Atlanta United like he treats the Falcons. You know,
yep.
You can't tell the difference. And Atlanta, the public there, the people there, responded to that, and they filled Mercedes-Benz Stadium when they were allowed to before this pandemic started for years. And Houston, is the ownership treating it like an NFL team? No, not even close, right? And the people there understand that, and they've responded in kind.
Well, you're hitting the nail on the head, because first of all, we have two things that are incredibly saleable here, and that is diversity and diversity of soccer fans from, as you mentioned, every corner of the globe. You got Nigerians, you've got Mexicans, you got Central Americans. I mean, on and on we go. We have pockets of expats from England, people connected to the oil industry, and they are educated.
Yep.
And that's the thing. That's the thing we forget. These are incredibly educated people. They know the game. And you're right. You're battling with somebody who's going to go to the pub with a bunch of their friends, like Hugh O'Connor's in the Liverpool base, getting them to your stadium. And I don't think it's going to happen unless there's feet on the ground and you can talk to those people in real seriousness.
My experience, those people are mostly always willing to give it a try. Right?
Absolutely.
People want to go to a stadium and watch live soccer. It's a fun thing to do, right?
Yeah. Why do they just want to go to the pub? They want to add to that by being able to go to a live stadium.
You're going to have a percentage of people that aren't going to give it the time of day, right?
And you're not going to grab those people. Those are the elitists. We get it.
But I would imagine a lot of those people that are going to those bars and supporting Liverpool, a lot of them would be willing to give the Dynamo a try, right? If the Dynamo were willing to kind of earn it. And I'm not trying to throw shade at any employees here or anything like that.
But when I say earn it,
ownership level, right? And you have to really go out and grab these people in a meaningful way. And you have to do meaningful things to grab those. And those things have not been done. And that's too bad because, I mean, you know this, right? Even back at Robertson, right, there were bigger crowds, there were more engaged crowds. Because why? Because the team was good. Right, and they were playing good soccer.
And there were more of those people that were connected to other clubs coming to those games and were hardcore soccer fans and grew to tremendously love it and enjoy it. And it was a very different time, no question. But a lot of those were lost. But there's so many more potentials out there. It's unbelievable down here, the amount of people connected to the sport. It's off the charts.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, it's a huge city. It's a growing city. Soccer should work there better than it should almost anywhere else in the country, and it's a shame that it doesn't.
Well, there's potential in the future, and Tab Ramos is doing good things from a leadership role here, and the team has looked more organized and has played some very, very good soccer. So we're looking forward to that again this weekend against Minnesota. There'll be some fans will be allowed in the stadium for that one. The other big challenge for you in Major League Soccer at this point in the juncture, outside of COVID, what would it be, Sam?
Oh, man. For this season in particular or bigger picture?
Well, outside of COVID, I would say bigger picture.
Okay. I already mentioned kind of becoming more of a selling league, right? And I think that's
Correct. Something
that the league needs to work on. But for me, you know, and this goes back, we're going real big picture here, but MLS talks a lot about wanting to be a league of choice. Right, and wanting to be one of the best leagues in the world by 2026. That's the latest deadline. Originally, it was 2022, and then they pushed that back. And they talk a big game. And in some ways, I think they've been very successful. But in the ways that really matter, right, in the ways that, like they say, they want to be quality, they want to be one of these top leagues in terms of what the play looks like on the field, they don't put their money where their mouth is. And I understand that, right? Like, this is a business for these people, And while they, many of them are incredibly wealthy, certainly wealthy beyond my wildest dreams, they don't have unlimited money, right? So I understand if they want to say, okay, let's do slow and steady. But my big thing with MLS is that's not what they say they want to do, right? They say they want to be this best league in the world, but they don't behave like it when push comes to shove. And that's something that consistently makes me feel like I'm ramming my head against a wall. And I do think that there are some owners in MLS. You know, I mentioned Arthur Blank. I would put LAFC's owners in this group. I would put New York City FC, who are owned by City Football Group, who own Man City and a bunch of other clubs around the world. Toronto as well in this group. I think there are some clubs that really want to push it forward, right? Even Columbus, with their new ownership, might be in this group. But they don't have the power, right? And they don't have the votes, and they don't have the majority. And the rest of the league is really focused on parity and slow growth and not having to overextend themselves too far, but which is a fine strategy. But it's not going to get them where they want to go when they say they want to get there, right?
But it's a good strategy if you're an investor, right? I mean, this is a good place to park your money.
You can't argue with it, right? From that perspective, like if you look at the Seattle Sounders, for instance, I think the expansion fee for them was $30 million back in 2008 or so. Yeah. And you know, if the Dynamo, the valuation was $500 million, right? When James Harden bought in, I believe Cincinnati had a valuation of $500 million not that long ago when they got to invest it. So if they're at those levels, the Sounders have to be at least that, maybe above, right? So say it's 600, I'm just pulling a number out of my butt. You're talking about going from 30 million initial investment to 600, and that's without having to build a stadium, without having to build a new training facility. They're investing in the players, right? And they're winning. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, but that's an incredible return. So you can't, like, it's rational to keep doing what they're doing. But if you actually want to be the best league in the world, you're going to have to spend money to make money. Or not even the best league in the world, right? But one of the best leagues in the world. You're going to have to spend money to do it. And that's going to see you losing a good deal of money, right initially. So I get it. It just bothers me when they kind of talk out of one side of their mouth and behave in a totally different manner.
Yeah, these are smart men that are investing in MLS. These are intelligent men. These are successful people. I guess you're kind of pushing it more towards the competitive side, and that side has to grow, and that's tough in a centralized league, right? Because it's tough for people to get advantages. I know they're built in things now, but it's tough for the ones that really want to let loose and go for it. You know, they're reined in a little bit, aren't they?
100%. You know, and there's a committee called the Product Strategy Committee, and that is sort of the group that runs the roster rules and anything that touches the field, right? They talk about it, they vote on it, and then they take it to the full ownership group, who pretty much just kind of rubber stamps whatever that group has approved. And that group is run by the Hunts, Clark Hunt in Dallas, and Greg Kerfoot, who's the owner of Vancouver Whitecaps. Those are two chairmen of that group. Those are two of the lowest spending teams in the entire league, right? Yeah. And those are two of, I think, the seven people in the most influential committee in the league. And I think that just kind of tells you a lot, right? You can have some ambitious teams in MLS, but at the end of the day, they're going to be reined in by the majority of the owners who are far less ambitious and are still interested in competing without having to spend too much more money than they already are.
All right. There's a lot of good things going on with youth development. I don't think there's any question, and we truly applaud that, and we're seeing the fruits of the labor. But do you sometimes get frustrated because, you know, there's certain clubs that use this as their mantra, and is that maybe a little bit of smoke and mirrors for, hey, we don't want to spend a lot of money?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And it's because you can do both, right? Like, there's nothing.
I think ideally, wouldn't ideally you want to do both? I mean, you'd want to enhance those guys with
right.
Star quality
Toronto,
and differing
Toronto,
talent from around
that?
The world. Yep.
Toronto, you see that, right? I think NYCFC are heading in that direction. Their academy is a lot younger, so it hasn't quite paid off yet. But Gio Reyna came out of that academy, right?
He's not doing bad, is he?
No, he's all right. I think LAFC will get there as well eventually. And maybe, you know, Atlanta's put a lot of money in their academy too. So I think some of these newer teams, in the cases of a few of those, right, you're going to start to see that. I think Toronto, you already see it. But it's good to invest in an academy. And in the case of like a team like Philadelphia, right, their ownership doesn't have as much money as those teams that I listed, right? Yeah. So they probably can't quite spend as much and justify it. And they've put a lot of money into their academy, and that's the model that they've taken. And they're doing a good job with it. And I'm fine with that. Not every team has to go out and spend a ton of money, right? And I'm fine with some diversity of models. I think that's a cool thing, right, if you have teams that are doing it different ways. But when you have a team like Dallas, let's say, who have been kind of at the forefront of this youth development thing, and I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. They've done a nice job. They've sold some players to Europe now. They'll probably sell some more in the future. That's great, right? And they deserve credit for that. But Dallas and Houston, very similar when we're talking about that off-field stuff, right? And that's not putting...
Yeah, I mean, what's the point if you're not drawing fans? I mean,
exactly.
This is a game that's soulless. We found out it's soulless without fans now. We've heard everybody talking about that.
Exactly.
We've heard Bielsa say, look, you play this game for the fans. But what's the point if you're not getting fans in the building?
I don't know. Like, honestly, is it just franchise valuation? I don't know. But that's not a situation, the Hunts, that like Philly, where the ownership maybe doesn't have as much money as the rest of the league. They own the Chiefs. They're billionaires. They have plenty of money. They could go out and spend if they wanted to. They don't want to, right? And I guess that's their prerogative, of course, right? And they are doing some good things with youth development, but it's just, I don't know, it's counter to a lot of kind of what I think I would like soccer to be in this country, and I think I'm not alone in that opinion.
Yeah, I think sometimes we feel like we get marketed out, you know, all the social media and all. I know that's so important. Don't get me wrong, but I think it becomes more important when it has the support of all the other elements, you know. And I think sometimes, you know, you just, man, let's talk about the product. Let's talk about the players, the teams, the tactics. Sometimes it just seems slightly tweaked towards, you know, just marketing and rhetoric.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's true kind of in a lot of leagues, right?
No, fair enough. Absolutely.
But I do think sometimes you can miss the forest from the trees in MLS. And I think it's important to talk about these kind of bigger issues, right? Because we can talk about, oh, who are the top 10 young players that are likely to be sold to Europe one day? And it's like, well, MLS has like never even sold 10 homegrowns, probably.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Why
it's
are we
a little ridiculous.
Like that? Right? Like, why is that the discussion? And why isn't the discussion like, hey, why are none of these players getting sold? Why have we invested so much money into youth academies and the results on a national team level so far haven't been that different? Now it looks like it's starting to change, right? But I think it's important to kind of pull back sometimes and talk about kind of the bigger things going on. So thank you.
But when you ask those questions, Sam, and what you're doing and what a lot of people are doing now, which is so vital to the growth, when you ask those questions, that's called healthy pressure. And then you have it on the table and people can discuss it and talk about it. And then they can say, well, I think this team's doing that, but this one really isn't. I think this team is really trying to win an MLS Cup. I'm not sure this one is. You know, from their overall way they're trying to build their club and do things. I'm not talking about players and coaches. Those guys always want to win. We know that. But, yeah, it really is interesting, and I think we need more critical game analysis, not just reports written off looking at a bunch of stats, but people that really, really watch the entire course of a game. And don't give us 19 heat maps, but give us their opinion as to, you know, what really happened through their lens. And then, you know what? Then people are going to find you. If you're good at it and you really have a good take on it, then your credibility factor is going to go up. You know, I don't know. A lot of differing things. Maybe I'm a little more old school.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of room for a lot more in American soccer coverage, right? There isn't that much of it at the end of the day.
We're dying on the vine down here. We need it. We need more critical analysis.
There's a lot of reasons for that, right? But I think there is also an appetite for it. Hopefully that can continue to build. Certainly, I think it'll be good for the game. It'll be good. It'll be good for you and me, Glenn, as two members of the media.
Absolutely. Well, this is what we make our living because. We love this game so deeply and we realize the potential of it. And there's just so much potential here in Houston that can still be realized. And you just laid out a lot of great possibility that can still occur and will occur, I think. Just sometimes it doesn't seem to get there fast enough, I guess.
Exactly. I think we're kind of on a long, slow march to some solid things, but I think a lot of us want that march to go a little bit faster.
That's
the conflict, right?
Sam, as always, you enlighten me. You teach me some great things. I really appreciate all the work that you do, and I want to thank you very much, as always, for coming on. That's Sam Stashkill of The Athletic, and I highly recommend you get that subscription simply for the soccer coverage. There you go, Sam.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate having you on. Hey, Glenn Davis here. One of the big changes we're all dealing with, wearing a mask, but not all offer the same comfort and protection. Now, I'm going to recommend one. It's the Boomer Naturals 3-layer. It's comfortable, it's breathable, and it's enhanced. Here we go. Nanosilver technology. Nanosilver can block those tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. They also offer nanosilver neck gaiters available in sizes for adults and children. They're in stock. They ship to you fast. It's BoomerNaturals.com. Took a photo wearing the Boomer Naturals mask. I'm going to wear it when I get on a plane Friday. And it's great. Comfortable. You just feel like you have more protection. You use the promo code Davis, save 20%. BoomerNaturals.com. All right. So we'll take a break here. It's brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Coming up, we're going to have a visit, a quick visit with Nebo Bandovic of NB Elite Realty, the former goal scorer for the Houston Hotshots. He's coming up next. Fantastic stuff there with Sam Stashkill. You know, when you do interviews and you get deep down and you really talk about the game, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels good. And this is what we want as soccer fans. So Nebo Bandovic coming up here, and then we'll continue our talk with Albert DeLeese and more. And I'd say even let's put out the phone number right now. Do you want to rebrand? I don't. I love the orange. I love the Houston Dynamo name. It's got history. It's got titles. It's got an open cup. I don't want to see it change. I mean, could you do a little with the logo? I guess I'm open to seeing that. But changing colors, full rebrand, don't count me in. I think there's just too much history there. You got to continue to build on. All right, we'll take a break. We got more to come. Nebo Bandovic, NB Elite Realty, and he'll tell you how you get it done after your playing career.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.